And the speaking of who left off. So the next case is, if you remember, the Mishnah says, Lo yigdal adam et hakelev. You shouldn't raise a dog, it's like a wild dog if you like, elim ken kashu bashel, and it's chained up. So Amar Rav Yosef bar Chanina, kol ha-megid al-kelev ra betoch shelo, anyone who raises a vicious dog, let's call it that, in his property, alav ha-katuv omer, lamas mere'u chased. Lamas means like to withhold. But there were Dorish here, it sounds like the Gemara from Lashon Mas can be a language of Kelev. Our Fulda quotes a Bavli here that Shechen Belashon Yevani Korim Le Kelev Mas. Lamas, okay? Fine. So if that, by having a dog, it pulls away from your friend Chesed, in Yirat Hashem, Asher Shakai, it says Ya'azov, he's forsaken. Okay, next. Ein Porsim Nishvin Leyonim Elim Kenayara Chok Mini Yishu Shloshim Ris. Talked about in the Mishnah, when we learned the Mishnah, that if you're going to lay traps for doves, you have to make sure it is very, very far from the Yishuv, because you might end up trapping other people's doves. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hachit mashloshim ris. There, when it was talking about where the dovecotes can be. Sorry, our case is shloshim ris. Ulahalan, there I should say, atamar chamishim amah. When it comes to dovecotes, you've got to make sure it's away from the city, the dovecotes themselves, 50 amah. So how far does a bird fly? Meaning before it seemed to be the flight of a bird seemed to be the concern is only 50 amah. Now we're saying Shloshim Rish, which was many, many times it. So Amar Rav Yosef Barbun, no, Lirot Miri'ah, we say Chamishim amah. The concern when it's your dove coat that it might end up eating and damaging other people's fields, that's fine. That's Chamishim amah, because that's the area that it would eat within. But Lifroach, but to actually go for a fly, Poracha, it can fly even further. Afilo arba milim, even 4 mil. Okay, seder. That's why the two different shrooms. So with that we say hanrach perak moruba, hadranach perak moruba, hanrach perak moruba. So now let's have a look at the case of a chovel. This is talking about physical human injuries. A person injures another person. So chovel b'chaverot chayiv alav chamisha dvarim. He's chayiv five elements of compensation. Nezek, which is literally the damage that was caused, tsar, the pain he felt, ripui is the medical expenses, shevet is the fact that he cannot work, and boshet is the shame. So these five elements apply where they are relevant. We'll see in the Gemara discusses this. How do we understand the nezek, the damage? How do you evaluate that? Okay, so that's sima eteno kitait yado. Importantly, this is the type of injury that is a permanent injury. Okay, that makes sense in the Gemara. So he breaks his leg, or he cuts off his hand, or something like that, or blinds him. Ro'in oto ki ilu eved hanimkar. We look at the slave market in terms of what's the difference in his value now. Kama hayafa, kama hu yafa, and that's the nezek component. That's a physical damage that is caused to this individual. What about tsar? What about pain? Well, some that you can have pain even without a physical injury. Kviya b'shapud, or you burn him with like a skewer or a masmer nail. Afilo otziporno, that doesn't make a chabura on his nail. Makom she'ein osechabura, omrim, we say, kam adam kiyotze b'ze rotze litol liot mitzerkach. Now the literal translation here, the Gemara will address it, is how much would we look at how much someone want to be paid like in order to undergo such pain. That's what it sounds like. Which would sound like a huge amount of money, but we'll get to that soon. So let's on the Gemara now. Hachovel b'chaviro, Tani, hachovel b'chaviro, chamisha noten chamisha, arba noten arba, shlosha noten shlosha, shnayim noten shnayim, and chad noten chad. Meaning they're all manners of injuries. And when you have the five elements of compensation, you only have to pay whichever elements are relevant to the injury that was caused. That's the point. V'heicha, heichia, so he kat yadoi, hit his hand, v'kita, and it had to come off, right? He end up this like some permanent damage. Nor ten law, you have to pay all elements of compensation because all relevant. Nezek, tsar, ripui, shevet, and boshet. Hika'u, if he hits him with tzavat and ends up swelling, and that swelling will go down and there's no permanent nezek, it's not there. Therefore, nezek doesn't apply, but you hurt him. Nor ten law, arba, there's pain, tsar, ripui, medical expenses, shevet, he can't do work, his hand's out of action, or boshet in the shame. Whatever, hika'u, rosho, hit him on the head, v'tzavta, and there was a swelling there. But it doesn't impact his ability to work. Noten lo, well, still there's tsar, ripui, the pain, the medical expenses, and change of gears here, boshet, the shame. However, makom she'eino nireh, if the place where it's not visible, then noten lo, meaning there's no boshet in this context, noten lo, only two, tsar, ripui. But sometimes you can have a tomos shibiado if you used a roll of, it sounds like he used as opposed to hit, with a shtar, like a rolled up newspaper or something like that, literally a contract, hits him with it. In that situation, it might not even hurt him at all. A piece of paper hitting him on the head, he can be shocked by it, but it's not going to hurt him. There's no tsar. So therefore, boshet, all that applies is boshet. So that's really the point. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah Abaye, kitei yado vechazar vekitei yado. What if he cuts off his hand and then cuts off above that location? So he hits it, he does it to injury twice. Ma'alim mima'alan above it, sorry. Ma'u shiten no tsar shel sha'a rishona. Does he have to pay the tsar for the first injury? Now it's very difficult to understand this. The Marafolder says, v'lo yadati, this is the middle of the Birur Matzil Mahu. What's even the question? Imlor, if it's not the case, is as follows. Imlor he injured him in that first injury, and they didn't get a chance to do the estimation and the valuation for the compensation. And then the victim was injured again by the perpetrator, if you like, the same person. So it's a similar question in Bavli, but the question is, since he didn't get a chance to estimate the pain, and now he's been injured again, what happens? So the similar understanding here is, do we do two estimations, pain for injury one, which number two, or look at the pain as one big estimation, which would be obviously less. Now, it's difficult to understand this because he's felt pain in both situations. So I saw an article, the quote of the tour in that when it comes to tsar, it's important to understand tsar is not just the pain and anguish that has occurred as a result of the injury. There's also pain that is endured during recovery by painkillers and things like that to try and manage it. So in that situation, when the person, when this the perpetrator here end up injuring this person again, it was within that window that he's still covered by the original tsar. Okay? And effectively, because he caused another injury, well, the compensation, if you like, for the first part is really not really complete yet, the duration of it. So that's really what the question is. Do we look at it as one big thing, or we look at the first injury and say, okay, the pain when Jewel would have taken, say, 2 months. Yes, he got injured after a month, but it doesn't matter. It would have been, let's calculate that on its own. And now, second incident, we'll calculate it on its own. That's what it sounds like, the explanation, which kind of makes sense. Now, the Gemara says, Ketiv, Ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen. Okay? U'makom acher omer, lo tachos einecha, nefesh benefesh, ayin ba'ayin, shen b'shen. So we see there's two expressions of this concept of a compensation, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The Gemara says that's a chad shogeg v'chad mezin. Now we know that's mammon. The Gemara is going to explain that it means a monetary compensation, but we need to understand that we need the two psukim to say if he injured him deliberately, it was malicious, or whether he it was by mistake, he knocked into the person and caused an injury. Both situations, ayin tachat ayin shen tachat shen. So the Gemara says, well, why do I need both? Yomer shogig val yomer mezid. What? So the Gemara says no. She'ilu nemar had the Torah just taught the case of shogig and didn't teach the case mezid. Hayti yomer shogig yishalem mamon. It's only shogig is a monetary compensation, but mezid maybe not. Mezid. Now I'm not sure if you have this piece here. It's filled in here. The Ozvadar yikta rado. You'd think that if it was mezid, you should maybe cut off his hand. Tzorech chushi yomer. That's why you have to say mezid is also mamon. Or ilu no na mezid, I only told mezid v'lo na ma shogeg until shogeg eiti omer mezid shalem mamon, shogeg maybe lo yishalem klum. Had I only taught the case of mezid as money compensation, you might think if it's an accident. No, it's an accident, you have to pay anything. That's why you need to teach us the case of shogeg and the case of mezid to teach us that in both situations, the victim must be compensated and it has to be monetary. Now, I tell this, we're going quite fast, but I tell this beautiful vort actually that I heard from Rav Amital, Satsal, my Rosh Hashiva. He said, the classic question that is generally asked is why is it when it says, Ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat, the Torah says so it has to be eye for eye, tooth for a tooth, do suddenly Chazal come and say, mammon? If the Torah really wanted to be monetary compensation, just say, mammon, why are we doing this? So he quoted Mishlei, which says, and it says, Musar Avicha, I can't remember the Mitra thing. He says, that's Torah Shebichtav. Musar Torah Timecha, that's Torah Shebaalpeh. So he explains it beautifully as follows. I'm not sure he quoted actually, but he explained it as follows. He said that if a kid does something wrong, then what? Let's go stereotypes. The father says, "I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna beat you up. How can you possibly do this thing?" And it comes down, like a ton of bricks. The mom says, "Don't worry. It's okay. It's fine. It's like it'll be okay. You don't have to be so harsh, right?" So what happens is you've got Torah Shebichtav coming, and by the way, both messages are important. I'll get into it in a moment. They need to work hand in hand. So Torah Shebichtav is like Musar Avicha, saying, "Ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen." We should go take your eye. And then Torah Shebaal Peh comes along and says, "No worry, it's just mammon." Why is it important? Because had the Torah just said it was mammon, one would have thought, "Oh, knocking someone's eye out is no different to, smashing their window or losing their item. It's just monetary. It's all money. What difference does it make?" So Torah Shebichtav is coming and saying, "No, ayin tachat ayin. Look what you did to another human being. Your eye should really be taken out. This is to the extent of that you have to appreciate. This is much worse than any other monetary damage." But nonetheless, Torah Shabbat says no, but it's mammon. But again, you need these both messages to come across to A, be a fair, if you like, execution of judgment, but also to ensure that the severity of what the person has done is actually appreciated. That's the way he kind of explains it, which I thought is very good. Anyway, now the Gemara says, now what's the proof? This is, again, the Bavli has many proofs of this, but the proof that the Yerushalmi brings now of why it's mammon. And not really ayin tachat ayin, because I'll give you an example. She'im ayah sim suma. Let's say edim zomim. Now we know with edim zomim, they get the reciprocal punishment. Nachon? Meaning what? Which they tried to do, these false witnesses, they end up, that's a punishment they receive when they're found to be false. So if let's say the false witnesses were blind and they testified v'simatino, and they testified this person blinded the person, or kiteya, or the witnesses didn't have hands themselves, and they claimed this person v'kitat yado. If you say the punishment that the accused was meant to have gotten was literal, blind him or cut off his hand, then how can you then fulfill the mitzvah of Heyach? How can you do? How can the false witnesses receive the same punishment? They don't have eyes, they don't have hands, so you can't give them the typical punishment. So they're Magid, so therefore you must be, this is the proof, you're saying Magid she'enu meshulam ela mamon, it must be that it's the punishment the Torah really means is really monetary, and that's when the case is false witnesses, they can receive a physical punishment, even if they're blind, if they don't have hands, because it's really a monetary, the compensation at the end of the day is a monetary one. Okay, let's continue. Tsar kvuyo, if what's tsar? That's kvuyo b'shiput or b'masmer. Afilu al tzipor, no makom she'eino sechabura. That's what we said. Now the Gemara explains this. K'tiv, kviyat tachat kviyah. That's the whole pasuk, if you appreciate it. It continues. Kviyat tachat kviyah, petzah tachat petzah, chabracha tachat chabura. It wasn't just ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen. So the Gemara says, hey chidami, what's kviyah? What's a burn in place of a burn? I mean, the compensation has to be paid for that. Even if you say the burn was such that, I'm not sure if you had bad birds before, that it actually caused a mamash, a wound that it opened up. We say viotziu and it bled. Kfar tiv petzatach apetza. So it can't be talking about that type of burn because that would be a wound, which are the next words the psukim are referring to. And the Torah isn't the objective of the pasuk is not to talk about all manners of types of injuries that are of the same category. So it must be different then. So ma tabud lomar chabura. What's in chabura? Ela sheim kfiya b'shipud al kaf yado v'tzavad al kaf. Right, v'tzavat al kaf raglo v'tzavat, or she'otil alav sheleg, who put snow on him, such it caused such a pain that doesn't actually induce an injury, or tzinim, or again it was cold type of thing, but makom she'enu nira, a place that is not visible, then chayv l'rapoto, there's a chiyuv of refuah, well, not just obviously ripui, but also we're trying to understand here not just ripui, but also the inyan of other element compensation, which is that of tzar. That's what we're trying. That's how you kind of understand. If we're ending with the nusach in front of us of chay l'rapato, there is another girsa. I think there's one asked for there that says chayev demeitzar. I think it is, but that would make it align much easier. Anyway, let's continue. Omrim kama adam kiyotze bo rotze li ten li tol mitzar vekach. So Amr Zirech, Amr Zirech Chamya Barnash, the Amri le. You go to this person. Kamad bayle meitan veloye vacha hen sarah. Meaning, how do we get tzar? The simple understanding of the mission that we read sound to be, we work out how much someone would want to be paid to undergo such pain. But what the Gemara is saying, no, Rabbi Zira says, no, it doesn't mean that because they'll say, forget, I'm not interested whatsoever. Rather, what it says, What he's saying is, how much would you willing to pay not to undergo or not to feel the pain? The way the Bavli explains it is that let's say someone was chayiv midin malchut that he had his hand cut off. Okay? So he has no choice in the matter. It's going to happen. How much would you willing to pay to take an anesthetic? Okay? That's the value. So that might be a different value, less than the value. So let's say to like, yeah, to like anesthetic, that might be different to the value that we're saying that how much willing to get a hand cut off. That'd be much, much higher. Okay? What if he says, yeah, Yabidli? Now, so Amar Ufa says, the Kamadam Rotzili Tol, he might meet him, the Tomar Ken says, how are you talking about? Well, the Pashup Shah mission is different. Elachami Barnash, Vamrin Lay, say, Kamad Bay Mesa Vyavach, Ahensara, how much willing to pay? How much can we pay you that you're willing to undergo that amount? Again, a little better price. Umadu Amar Yavin Lay. So that's interesting. What the Havamina in the Bavli is the Maskana in Yerushalmi and vice versa, which is actually interesting. Because above they concluded that it's actually not that high of a value. It's how much of someone would want to take in order to have like a, or have a painkiller, and not feel the pain. Okay, let's continue. Tani bar ben Azai Omer, notnim nichei mazon. Now it's interesting. Part of the compensation is also the fact that, put it this way, that the diet's going to have to change of this individual. He has to eat like different food. So ma'u nichei mazon. Bekad mirta, you could say initially before the injury, having achal would eat tlofchin v'yerek. I could have lentils and vegetables. V'kaduna now, late b'meichal, I can only eat more expensive foods. Bayin v'tarnagolin. Umadu amar yabinle. And the fact that there's a change in his diet, it's more and the expenses now for him to survive, if you like to eat, is elevated. That also needs to be compensated. So amar Rav Yosi bar Yaakov, ahen Roma, you see that's a case. Kad mivash. Meaning a Roman, these Roman generals or officers, sorry, soldiers, okay? It says when he if he got sick, lo nafili karava, he wouldn't go out to ward. Ad yechul ma dechaser yomi biyomin. So I'll just read the Marfulda here. He says, or biyomi yamim. It says, har by Romi kashiyachle when he gets sick. V'yamom nechilon, he's ready. He gets ready. He's recovered. Ein yotzil lemelchama, he can't go to war yet. Ad sheochel masha nechsar bachilato bishvil choyo. In other words, obviously, when he was sick, he ate less. So he needs to, we'd say, fatten up again, really, but he has to eat more. What he lacked in those days. So, yamim b'yamim, kefiyeh yamim, according to the days that he was sick. Mosif ashta b'machalo neged shiroto yamim. So let's say he was out of action for 2 weeks. For the next 2 weeks, it sounds like we'd increase his food intake until, and only after that would he be able to go to war. So you see that the point I think the Gemara is doing here is showing that as a result of injury, or in that case, sickness, there will be dietary changes that of an increased amount, if you like, that has to be paid as part of his recovery. Okay, and that would have to be compensated. Okay, next to the next Mishnah, Halacha Bet. This is the same Mishnah in Mishnah. However, Ripui, what's medical expenses? Hikau, if he hits him, he's got to pay medical expenses. That's fine. Alubot smachim. Let's try and understand more things. What happens if there are other sores that came out? As well, if it's due to the injury, we'll chayav. If it's not due to the injury, you think it's straightforward. What if the injury seems to heal but it regresses? So it becomes like this, like it sounds like some sort of chronic recurring problem as a result of the injury. Well, it's chayav the rapato, he still has to go until it's fully healed. Okay? If, however, he recovers fully, then that's the end of story. End of chayav the rapato. You know, if the guy falls again and the scars open up, you don't say, oh no, it's original scars, it was weak skin. No, finished, game over. Let's continue. Ripui, now the Gemara says, Rav Yirmiyah Baye, alubot smachim svivot. Let's say there were some sores around the wound, maka. Venisra, and then they something bad happened to them as a result of that. Okay? So what's the din then? Like, in other words, the wounds seem to have a side ramifications for other sores that were around where the wound occurs. Okay? So, in other words, the sores aren't a result of the wound, but seems to have impacted them somehow, or they degrade. So the Gemara says, Mimma dichtiv v'rapo yarapeh. Now, the double lashon v'rapo yarapeh, we're going to learn a number of different explanations for that. And one of the explanations we're going to learn, we'll probably stop here because. Oh, it's really early. You know, do a bit, we'll just do a bit more. It says, Rapo yirapeh, she'im ala gargotani. What's this? Sorry, שאם עבר, לא, אביס הבית. ממה דכתיב רפואה שאם עבר על דברי רופא, פטור. Variopa rapa means that if he had the doctor's instructions and he wasn't following those instructions and the recovery was going to be more expensive as a result, then the criminal, the person who inflicted injury, is not chayv in that situation. As you'll see here, so she'achal davat vash v'chol mi'an metika, all these sweet foods, which is bad for the wound, and the wound went degraded, we say, einu chayv. The tool of potoy doesn't, he's not, he doesn't have to be involved. If you're not listening to the doctor, I don't have to be continue your medical journey, be on your, continue with you on the medical journey. Tani Chorin, another explanation is, now the Tani Chorin is like Tani Idach. It says, if some basar met, like grew as a result or developed, he's chayev. However, this is the part we need to get to. Tan Rabbi Yossi Barbun, Ama alubot smachim tzvot ha-maka, af al pish nisra ha-makech, chayv l'rapato, v'ein chayv l'ten on domei shivto. Meaning, the Marfuda says, meaning, af al pish nisra ha-makech, maka, sorry, machmatan, ein sarich l'ten on domei shevet. He doesn't have to pay to debit shevet. Aval chayv, he does have to pay for the medical expense here. Why? Since the pasuk doubled rapoy rapeh, we find the scope of the responsibility of rapoy rapeh of refua ripui is much broader than a normal compensation. Aval shevet lo shina bakra. When it comes to shevet, the fact he's out of work as a result, or he can't do as much work, that's not double down. It just says shifto lemeute, just once v'shifto, meaning the shevet is a direct result of the wound. Okay. However, Rabbanan Tzavri, the Mechayv Ripui, Chayv B'Shevet, they go hand in hand. Okay, that's a Chachamim Mecholek on Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudin. Okay. V'rak Ata Lahechisha Avar Al Divrei Rofe Da Potur. Only if he went against the Rofe would he be Patur. Okay, so we've got another brighter. Let's go through it very carefully. Our original question is, what if some other souls around in regard to the wound, they it somehow impact them negatively? We brought the bright initially says Tanich, we've got the when a rapoy rapeh means if you go against a rofer, that's it. If the victim goes against a rofer, that's it. No more medical expenses need to be paid. Next one, rapoy rapeh, is got to do with this basar met. He's chayv to address it. The next Rabbi Yossi says, no, there's a difference between shevet and ripoy. That even these wounds around it, if you like, because a rapoy rapeh that aren't a direct result of the that didn't start as razor wound, but seem to if you like, degrade or be impacted negatively because of the wound. Yes, you're chayv rapoy rapeh because of the extra ribui, but not shevet. If those sores or something are impacting his work. Rabbi Shimon Amar chidush chidash hakatuv b'parasha hazot sheiten lo shevet v'ripui, because it says both together, because it says rak shivto yiten v'rapoy rapeh. They go together. So I'll just show you again the Marafulda. Parsha zot shelo katov nezek v'tzar ela shever ripui lo malacha manda lo chay b'shevet einu chay b'ripui. That if you're not chay in shevet, they go hand in hand einu chay b'ripui. So it sounds to be almost like the if you like the opposite. If you're not chay in shevet for that situation, then also not ripui. Okay, because there's a hekesh if you like between the two specifically. Okay, beseder, we'll take it from the mission next time. Okay.